We have a sign-up sheet in the foyer for Bible Hour for next year that includes January, February, March, and so we want to get those months assigned to have Bible Hour teachers for. We have two groups of Bible Hour, and so that's at the Welcome Center. So if you can help with Bible Hour next year, stop on your way out, and if you will, help us get those slots filled. Also tonight, of course, we're having Coco and Carol's across the street at 6 o'clock. And if you weren't able to come to that last year, what that is Santa Claus and pictures with Santa Claus, which for the most part is children taking pictures with Santa Claus. But we had some older ones taking pictures with Santa Claus last year. So bring your cameras, bring your kids, bring your relatives. It's a good opportunity for us to invite a neighbor, someone you know, a friend or a neighbor who has children and they haven't got the kids' Santa pictures yet. Tell them to come up here. It's a lot better than trying to go to the mall and wait in line. And so we'll have a great time tonight doing that starting at 6 o'clock. We will have tonight's 5 o'clock service as we typically do, and then Coco and Carol's at 6. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I love going home. Don't you like going home? It's extra special when mom and dad lived in the home that I grew up in. There's extra memories there. If you're able to go to mom's house or grandma's house, and that's a house that you grew up in or spent a lot of time in, that's just extra special. But wherever mom and dad are, that's where home is. They've moved a couple times since, and it doesn't matter. That's still home. When I go to where they live, that's home. And there's three things that will happen when I go home that I can count on. And the first one is there are people there that are glad I'm there. You know, you come in and they're glad you're there. Come on in. Second thing I can count on at mom and dad's house is that there will always be snacks and pop. Those two things you can count on. There will be something to snack on. So if I'm a little in the snacking mood, I can go to the kitchen and get whatever I want. There will be some things there. And there will be pop. And one of the best things I've done is I acquired a taste for the same kind of pop that mom and my sister drink. They will always have that pop. They may or may not have some other kinds, but they will always have Diet Pepsi Max. So if you like anyone like that, drop by mom's house, have a seat. And the third thing is there will be, and this may sound weird, but there will be a place to sit. You know, I come in, I put my keys down, I do a little this and that, maybe go get a drink, and next thing you know, and I've just kind of noticed this, but dad will say, have a seat. Your family wants you there, and they want you to stay. We're going to read a parable this morning, Luke chapter 15, a parable of a family who had a family member leave and then come home. And so Luke 15, starting in verse 11, Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. So you have two sons, and they would have an inheritance coming, but the younger son said, Dad, I want it now. And so the dad did. The dad went ahead and divided the property among the two sons. So you have the younger son, he wants to go solo. He wants to go out on his own. He wants to leave the family. Now, as we go through this parable, I want you to look at this parable and its meaning as it would apply to us as a church family. We are a family. We have family members who are here. We have family members who are not here. I mean church family, Christian brothers and sisters. And so, who is behind this son wanting to leave the family? Satan is always behind circumstances that influence a person to walk away or drift away from the Father and from their church family. Anytime someone drifts away from the church family, Satan is always behind that. So verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So the son leaves and he squanders his property. He wastes it. His money, he wastes it. It's gone. Not only is it gone, but he blew it. I mean, it's a total waste. Have you ever wasted something? You ever wasted money? Look back and you think, goodness, what a waste. I might as well just take that money and throw it in a trash barrel and burn it. Or wasted time. We as of yesterday morning, we did not have Christmas lights up on the outside of our house like we have been each year. So we've been late on that. But yesterday, okay, we're going to do this. And for the first time, I wanted to put lights on the eaves. Thank you. You help me out there. Thank you. Thank you. Right? So on the silhouette of the house, I want to put lights. Got these new lights. Got them last year after Christmas when they were about to throw them away. So proud of myself. Got all these lights ready to put them up, right? I don't have a ladder tall enough to get to the top of my garage. Above the garage, the roof goes like this, and it's steep. My roof is steep. I've climbed on it three times. Three times. Now, when I was a kid, I loved to play on the roof. Sorry, Dad, but brother and I'd throw a frisbee up there on accident, and then before long it'd be on purpose. But I love to play on the roof. I like heights. But this roof of our house now is too steep. I've climbed on it three times, and I said, mm-mm. I got too much to live for. It's too steep. So I need a ladder. So yesterday, go to Walmart, find a ladder. I don't want to spend that much on a ladder, but I've been putting it off year after year. And so 20-foot ladder, extension ladder. All right. Well, let's get it. Let's do this. So get it home. I've done my visualizing and estimate. Will this be a tall enough ladder? Get home, it's not tall enough. I forgot to calculate, when you stand on an extension ladder, you don't stand on the ladder upright. You stand at an angle. Now that messed my calculations up a little bit, among other things. But in the end, I've got this nice new ladder that I just bought. And I don't need it. I don't need it. It's a waste. Now I've got to take it back to Walmart and try to convince them I didn't just buy a ladder to go put my lights up and then bring it back to get my money back. It's called renting. If you've ever wasted something or wasted money or wasted time, you understand this guy. And so he begins to be in need. What do you do when you get in need? What does a baby do? What does an infant do when an infant's hungry? You say, well, an infant cries. They need someone to feed them. But if you watch an infant, before they cry, they'll try to meet their need on their own. They'll be sucking on a thumb or a finger or a fist or an arm. They're trying to get food and they realize, I'm not getting any food, and then they cry. This young man, he tries to meet his own need. So he goes and he hires himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. If you've ever been poor, if you've ever been hungry, if you've ever been lonely, no one gave him anything. You would imagine he had lots of friends when he was partying. He has no friends now. He's poor, he's hungry, he's lonely. He's so hungry, he's about to eat what the pigs are eating. When people drift away from the church, they have spiritual hunger, don't they? I communicated with a few of our members during the week who had, I know in their past, they left the church for a while and then eventually came back. And so I want to include some of the things that I gained from talking with them or listening to them, emails. And invariably, with all of them, but one, they noticed something was missing. And I think that speaks to the fact that the majority, if you know someone who is no longer part of the church family, but they could be, you can count on about 9 out of 10, they miss something. And there may be one that there's something missing, but they don't know it. But for most, they noticed closeness with God was missing, fellowship was missing. I want to read just a brief few statements from Carrie Benton from a time that she was away from God and the church. And she says, "When I fell away from church, at first it didn't seem like that big a deal. And every time I missed, it became easier and easier to stay away. I didn't have the support of my church family, but at that time I didn't realize the value of my Christian family. It was a dark time, and there was always something deep within me that knew I wasn't living as I should. I fully believe that we have a God-shaped or God-sized hole in our heart, and until we fill it with God, we will chase many things in vain." Isn't that true? God has made us, and He made a place for Himself within us, and until we are walking with God, there's something missing. This young man in the story, there's something missing. He's hungry. He's in need. He's lived it up, but that lifestyle didn't end well. I mean, it didn't give him what he thought it would. And it reminds us that sin is a cruel mistress. Sin, think about it. Sin promises a lot and delivers very little. What sin does deliver, it's in the short term. Right? It doesn't last. Verse 17, when he came to himself, we would say came to his senses. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?" He came to himself. Isn't this what we want for our church family members who are away? Don't we want them to come to themselves, to come to their senses? I mean, we've all done it. We've had times where we stopped and we thought, whoa, might call it an epiphany. We stop and we realize something we've kind of been blind to. And this man in the story, he stops and he realizes. Now, what triggered him coming to his senses? What kind of brought this about? What caused it? What happened here? And the answer is, he was hurting. When you pray for your loved one who's not walking with God, do not pray that God blesses them to the point that they don't realize they need something. Right? Is that what we need? For people who are away from God? Or envision if it's you or me and we're away from God, do you really want God to bless you so much that you think, boy, God loves me. I mean, He always loves me, but God's proud of me, or God's happy with me, or God, you know, He approves of what I'm doing. This man hurt, and then he came to his senses. Why don't we pray that people will have whatever needs happen to them so that they'll come to their senses? God, bring about whatever needs to happen so that this person will realize they need something and they're not finding it where they're looking. Sometimes people come to their senses because they hurt. Sometimes because young children in their life, bringing up, you know, having children and coming to that stage in life where oftentimes people will come back more for their children than for themselves. That's okay. That's okay. We don't check people at the door and say, "Hey, why are you here?" Right? I don't care why they come. I don't think God cares why they come. I think God cares why they stay. But just come on. Sometimes people come because of change in life, change in job. There are some people who used to be a part of our family. They live around the corner from us, from Stephanie and I. They've had aging parents that they've been taking care of. Those two aging, mother and father, have passed on. They have a change in life. Their life has changed. I will be inviting them to come to our 35th anniversary Sunday and praying that God, through what's happening in their life, will bring them to their senses, that they will say, hey, let's come back. Sometimes what brings someone to their senses is an invitation from someone who goes and says, I haven't forgot about you. Why don't you come? Well, verse 18, this young man said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him. So he's planning this out in his mind. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. How did the son feel? Confident? He felt embarrassed. He felt ashamed. He felt unworthy. And I would think to some extent that's common for people coming back. Not always, and not always to a great degree, but on some level there's probably some similarity here. And we need to remember that when people come back. And verse 20, he arose, came to his father, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him. While he was a long way off, his father saw him. If you're reading in your Bible, underline that. Write in your Bible, it's okay. Highlight it. If you're reading on a Bible app, highlight it if you know how to do that. If you don't, ask a sixth grader. Highlight it. While he was a long way off, his father saw him. One of the greatest verses in the whole book. You could sum up the whole book with this one verse. While he was a long way off, his father saw him. If you've done something in your past that you feel so ashamed of, maybe you've mistreated another person or abused someone at some point in your past and you feel so awful, you need to know while you were coming back, while you were a long ways off, your father saw you. If you've done something in your past, maybe you've stolen, maybe you've cheated someone out of something. When you were a long ways off, your father saw you. Maybe you've committed adultery. While you were a long way off, your father saw you. Maybe you've had an abortion. Maybe you've broken up a marriage. Maybe you've hurt many people, including yourself, through a gambling addiction or a drug addiction, or an alcohol addiction, or a sexual addiction, and you need to know while you were a long way off, your father saw you. How great is that verse? That's how God loves us. His father saw him and felt compassion. His father saw him, obviously, because he was watching for him. God watches for us to come home. And when we think about those who've drifted away from the church family, do we watch for them to come home? Is it on our mind? Is it on our heart to watch for them, to seek them? When we reach the fallen, I encourage you to remember six things. And some of talking with those of our number who've have fallen in their past is part of what helped me arrive at these six. But we need to remember that they miss closeness with God and their church family. I want you to think of someone that you know that has been a part of this church family, but is no longer, right? Or is not right now. Maybe they haven't in months. Maybe they haven't come and worshiped with us in years. People who have fallen from God or fallen from His church, they miss God. They miss the family. They miss the fellowship. They will likely consider an invitation if asked. They will likely consider coming back if asked. And that's the irony. Because it's easy for us to think, well, if they want to be here, they'd be here. I mean, obviously, they don't want to be here. And even become a little bitter toward them. A little, right? A little resentful. Well, where are they? Why aren't they here? Obviously, evidently, they don't want to be here. And the truth is, so often they do. They do want to be here. But there are things keeping them away that they're allowing to keep them away. And they will absolutely consider coming if we'll ask. Number three, they may be considering returning right now. And that's my hope for one that I'm thinking of. I'm hoping that they're already thinking about it. That they're already thinking, you know, it's probably time. We need to get back. Number four, if you can find out why they left, you may be able to help them. And that's worthy to consider, to talk with them. You know, why? I'm just curious, why did you leave? Or why have you been away? And if you'll do that in a very genuine way, however we reach out to those who've drifted away, we have to be genuine. And that genuineness will speak volumes. And then lastly, we need to show them God's unconditional love. We need to show them that God hasn't given up on them. We haven't given up on them. Right? We have an event coming up in 3 weeks. It's our anniversary, celebrating 35 years as a congregation of two, Prattville Church of Christ and Central Church of Christ, that merged 35 years ago. So in 3 weeks, we're going to have a special service that day. We're going to have a former preacher, Chuck Forsyth, will come and speak to us that day. We're going to have a big fellowship meal that day, an afternoon singing. It's going to be a day that, yes, we look back and we remember. We'll have people here from our church family in the past that they don't live here anymore, but they're going to come that day and celebrate it with us. Or they may be faithful members at another church of God's people, but they're going to come that day and enjoy that day with us. But I want you to know, it's also a great opportunity for us to invite people who live locally, they're not going, and we want them to come back. It's a great day to say, we're going to have a special day, why don't you come? It's a great day to reach out to someone and try to help them come home. And I want that to be on your mind and on your heart, so that people know that when they come here, there's a place for them. And we have people in our minds that we miss them. And we want them to know, come, there's a place for you. There's still a place for you. So be thinking about that. Let's bow together and pray about this. God, we ask that you would bless everything we do in your name. But in a special way, we pray that you help us to reach out to those who've fallen. Help us not forget them. Help us remember how much you love them, how much they mean to you. Help us remember what it's like to be lonely, to be spiritually starving. Help us to see them like you do. Help us to have a heart that sees them while they are a long way off, and to have compassion and to run to them. And we pray you help us with all of our efforts in reaching out, that you will bless it. We pray it in your Son's name. Amen. At the Welcome Center, by the way, we have invitations to the 35th anniversary. Take a stack of those. It's an easy way for you to hand it to someone and say, I want you to come on this day. We're going to have an invitation song, and if you're here this morning and there's something on your heart that we could help you with, something, there may be one here this morning who is ready to give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away. If there's something that you need, please come while we stand and sing.
On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting all.